Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the Shekilola Salami Show. I'm Shekilola Salami, and it's a virtual cafe podcast. How are you all doing? I'm all the way in London, being exhausted as always. Thankfully, my cold has gone away. This week, I actually found something that obviously most people know, but I never actually did. And so I got a little pitcher. I didn't have a pitcher at home. It was one of my measuring jars. And I was looking for a pitcher and I didn't have one. I just said, you know what? Whatever. I just got sliced some lemon, put some pineapple slices into my nice measuring jug, put some water in it, let it infuse for a couple of hours. And I found that every time I was drinking it, immediately I had a sip, my nostrils, you know, my passageway opened. And so literally, you know, my cold that would normally have taken like 3 weeks, 4 weeks to go, in literally less than a week, touch wood, it is gone. I was just so impressed. I was like, I knew that you're supposed to take honey and lemon and all of these things, but why come I never did it before? And so I was just really impressed because I was thinking, I don't want to be buying juice to just infuse in my water. And literally from now, I can't imagine drinking water without lemon in it. But yes, anyway, so that was just it. So you can hear that my throat is not as clear as it could be. But I think the water has helped to reduce the, lengthy period. Because last year, you guys that followed me regularly know that my colds, they seem to take, just go on weeks and weeks and weeks at a time. So it's just been really, really nice for mine to go away. But I'm not going to bore you guys with talk of my cold and my lemon infused water. Who have I got here with me today?
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Potts. And I'm an author, and I live in California, in the U.S., in Santa Cruz, on the beach. It's a beautiful place. I'm a wife and mother. I'm a former teacher. I taught high school English, and I'm here to talk about my first published novel.
Well, hi, Elizabeth. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Oh, good. Well, it's a virtual cafe. What can I get you?
I would like a low-fat decaf medium latte.
Okay, that does sound low-fat. Okay. Yeah. Well, my cafe, right? I mean, obviously, it's a virtual cafe, but I like to think of it as very futuristic. You know, think Star Trek.
Yes.
So anything you can imagine, we've got it here. Even what you cannot imagine being possible, I'm sure my virtual cafe can whip it up. So yes, okay, and what would you like to drink? What would you like to have with your drink?
I would like to have a morning bun. We call them morning buns. They're like a cinnamon roll.
Right, okay. Well, I'm sure though my cafe can do that, but actually what I think you may like, and because I'm a big fan of Oreo, using Oreo in baking, only last night, you know, I decided to bake a batch of cookies, just because, you know, I would normally buy biscuits for my daughter, but I just thought, you know, just do something. And then, so I got like a big tub of butter, and I was making it, and then, because my bowl wasn't very big, I didn't put as much flour in it. And so started off, it then became a little bit flat. But then when I take in half of it, I then put extra flour to make it thicker, so it was a more crunchier cookie. But then the bit that I didn't put as much flour in it, it actually turned out, so when I've been to Pizza Hut, and I don't go to Pizza Hut very much, they do a soft cookie dough where you put ice cream on it. Yeah, which is like my favorite thing from Pizza Hut, right? Because it's like, you've got this cookie dough that's really soft and, you know, it just melts in your mouth, but then it puts, you know, a dollop of ice cream on it. So literally you're having the most delicious thing ever. So I ended up making two types of cookies. I ended up making a traditional hard, crunchy, you know, cookie, but then I ended up making, you know, a soft cookie dough that would be perfect with ice cream. So do you want your cinnamon roll, a soft cookie dough with ice cream, or a traditional cookie? And all my cookies have Oreos in it, so you know that they're just lush.
Okay, I think I will try the soft cookie dough with the ice cream.
Perfect, my choice. Because when I tried it, I was like, ah, so that's why everything just sort of mushed together. But it was so like, I don't know, it's like, I wish I could show you a picture of it, but it's just so lush. But yes, I will go and get you one. And
thank
then
you.
I sent a little human to go and get it, because, you know, I tried to get her used to doing hard work and, you know, sort of helping about a bit. So whilst she's sort of attempting to go and get everything together, tell me about your book. What is it about?
My book is, well, let me start by saying I was a student at University of California at Berkeley during the late 60s, during the Vietnam War. And my book is about those years in Berkeley. Berkeley was really the epicenter of the anti-war movement among college students. I'd say Berkeley and several other schools. And it was a time of it was 1967 to 69. It was a time of great turmoil in the United States in general, but particularly the anti-war movement. In 1968, both Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy were killed. As I said, we were at war. There were marching in the streets. While I was a student, we were tear gassed from the air while we walked to class. Yes, a student was killed during a protest. So it was just, as I said, a time of great turmoil. But my book is really about the young men of that time who were in college. Most of the young men I knew did not believe in the war. They believed it was wrong. Intervening in someone else's civil war is how we really saw it. And so they had to make a decision about what to do with their, what they were going to do about it. You know, were they going to go underground? Were they going to go to jail? Were they going to be conscientious objectors? Were they just going to go to Vietnam even though they didn't believe in it? So it's really about that, about this life-changing decisions that they had to make at that time in their lives. But it's told through a girl's perspective who becomes deeply involved in the anti-war movement. So that's really what it's really about, the Vietnam War, the home front during the Vietnam War.
Right. Okay. And what inspired you to write the book? Was it just because you were there in that era? Like, why did you decide to write it now?
Do you know why I was inspired? Is because I started hearing, I think maybe in around the 80s, I started hearing things about, oh, the young men who didn't go to Vietnam were unpatriotic. They were cowards. And I knew those kinds of things. And I knew from personal experience that that was not true, that many of them went to a lot of through a lot of difficulty for their beliefs. I knew people who went to prison rather than go to Vietnam. And so I thought, you know, I need to tell the story about these people and show that they were brave, actually, not cowardly, because they stood up against the tide, stood up for what they believed in.
That's a really lovely story. Would you like to share, read from the book just so people can get an idea of what to expect? And then you'll tell us how you got into writing and how you got, the whole process. Does that sound all right?
Yes, that sounds good. I think I'll read just a small excerpt from the very beginning of the book.
Okay.
So here goes. I was trapped in a tiny room from which there was no escape. At least that's how I felt as a sophomore at Cromwell College, a small liberal arts school in Los Angeles, where every aspect of life was safe, controlled, and sterile, where I could feel myself stagnating more and more each day. Out of desperation, I'd latched onto another restless soul named Lisa, and together we embarked on a road trip to UC Berkeley. We'd heard that's where the action was, where students cared about what was going on in the world outside their ivy-covered walls, and we wanted to join them. Lisa and I left on our road trip to the Bay Area that spring. We cruised along in Lisa's sea-green Mustang convertible, driving across the San Francisco Bay Bridge with For What It's Worth blasting on the radio, and crisp salt air punctuated by the rich aroma of coffee from the Folgers factory filling our lungs as we crossed over into Oakland. We got to Berkeley and drove up Telegraph Avenue to the place where it runs into the university. Lisa parked the car, and we just sat there transfixed, staring out the window at the crazy scene before us, barefoot hippies, preachers on soapboxes, protesters carrying signs, even a few balloon salesmen. The air was filled with the smell of popcorn, hamburger grease, espresso, incense, and cigarette smoke, all commingling to the beat of street musicians competing for spare change. Sitting there on that sunny afternoon, I could feel myself being pulled by a strange magnetic force into the vortex, the phantasmagoria, the carnival, the irresistible precipice that was Berkeley in 1967. I would never be the same again. So that's sort of the introduction to the book.
All right. Okay. That was a very quick one. I thought we were going to get a nice little one of the chapters. Okay, but that sounds really...
Well, I could go on, but I didn't know how long you wanted me to read.
Oh, okay. Well, it's totally up to you. Just so that, people can get an idea of what to read. And I think people enjoy when the author does the reading herself and they get an idea. It's kind of like an audiobook. Okay, if you don't worry about it. I'm sure people who enjoyed the introduction would go and check out the book on Amazon or wherever they normally buy.
It's on Amazon, yes.
Okay, fabulous. Thank you for that. Now, when you decided that you wanted to write, what did you know about writing a book at a time?
Well, I've always written. Since I was young, I've written poetry and short stories. This was my first, I'd written another novel before this, but this was my first, that was sort of a practice novel. This was my first novel that, I also taught English in high school. So I knew about writing. And I just delved into it. I just, dove in head first and I knew what I wanted to say. And I just had to think about how to put it all together. I decided to throw in actual events in the world, like Martin Luther King's death and Bobby Kennedy's death and different aspects of the war in Vietnam. So I do reference what's actually going on in the outside world. Yeah.
Okay. So, you knew a bit about writing, but what about publishing? How much did you know about publishing at the time?
I knew nothing.
Okay, so talk me through the process that you went through to learn about publishing. So you started off, you knew a bit about writing, you had personal experience because, you were there at the time in the 60s. And then recently you've heard about, people calling those who didn't want to go in the war cowards. and you decided, you know what, I would like to share my account of those times. You knew how to write, you know, you got on with your writing. What did you do afterwards?
What did I do after I wrote this book?
Yeah, so when you decided that you were going to write and then you said, you know, you started making draft plans and whatnot, did you just wait till you finished to then decide how you were going to publish it? Or were you doing it, you know, were you trying exploring your options to publish? You know, what were you doing? I don't know what to ask.
I just finished the book. And then I thought, now, how am I going to publish it? So I didn't really think about it, about okay. that.
Okay. So when you asked the question, what, how were you going to do it? What did you do?
I guess I never really thought, I self-published.
Okay.
Through CreateSpace on Amazon. I don't think I ever really thought about trying to get an agent. I mean, just hear how difficult it is to get a good agent as a first-time writer. You get any agent, period, but a good agent, very, very difficult. And then a publisher then is the next step, which is also very difficult given how publishing houses are all, you know, so many of them are collapsing or combining, and there just isn't as much opportunity as there used to be to get books published unless you're well known.
How did you find out about CreateSpace?
I'm sorry?
How did you find out about CreateSpace?
I don't remember exactly. It seems like just in talking to people, I heard about it. The thing about CreateSpace is your novel has to be completely ready to publish before you give it to them. So they don't do any of the preparation. They do just the publishing. So I had to, and my son helped me with this because he's good at this kind of thing, but he helped me get it in shape to be published.
Okay.
I had to have a cover. And for my cover, I'm really happy with the cover. It looks good. And I went to... my son told me about an organization called 99 Designs, and they have people who work there who create covers. That's what they do. And so you can present them with what you want, and then whoever at 99 Designs wants to will compete for your business by designing possible covers for you. And I just happened to find a wonderful woman, and she's very talented, and she actually combined, and well, she worked with me, we worked on it quite a bit together, but she combined two photos. One is of a young girl about my main character's age. She looks a little worried or something like that, or you know. And behind her is a phalanx of police officers, kind of blurred. And so she took two photographs and combined them to create this cover.
Oh, cool. Cool. So how did you find the publishing process in general?
How did I think about it in general?
Yeah, how did you find it? What did you think about it?
Well, CreateSpace is, you know, they do their job. They published the book. I'm thinking for my next novel, I might try to find an agent. I think I might try to. One podcast I was listening to, I don't believe this was on yours, it was someone else's, a man was talking about his novel, and he said he learned that you need to start marketing your book when you start writing it, not when you have, not afterward. You need to start working on getting it sold. So I thought that was interesting. I'm sorry?
I said that was possibly one of my previous guests.
Oh, maybe it was. Maybe it was. I can't. I've listened to a lot of different podcasts, and so I didn't think that was on yours, but maybe it was.
Okay. Yeah.
But it was a good advice. Yeah.
Oh, cool. So what would you, if you could, when you plan to write your second book, what would you be doing differently? Obviously, you would start your marketing process as you were writing. What else would you be doing?
Do you mean in terms of publishing?
Yeah, just in general. What have you learned from, you know, going through the process this time around? And what would you be doing differently, you know, the next time around?
Well, I'll tell you something I learned about writing that I just really recommend to any writer. And I developed this system of 3x5 or 4x6 cards. And I put, when I'm through writing my first draft of the book, I go through the book and I write one scene on each card. And I'm in a writing group, and I told my writing group this, and I think they thought it sounds too tedious, but it's so important. So I wrote one, and I don't mean one chapter on each card. I mean one scene. Like you could have five scenes in a chapter. And then I have all those scenes. Then when I go to rewrite my book, I can shuffle those cards around. I can say, well, this scene would better go here, or what do I need to add to this scene? Or I have something I want to add. I shuffle through the cards. Where am I going to put it? So that is my best advice. Well, my second best advice, but that's something I really, really recommend that writers do. And then I guess my best advice comes from an American basketball coach named John Wooden. He said, don't let what you can't do keep you from doing what you can do.
I totally
wonderful advice.
That.
Wonderful advice, because when you think, oh, I can't write. Everyone has those days. I'm no good, blah, 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 blah. I'm not Hemingway. I'll never be Hemingway. No, you will never be Hemingway, but you can be you. You can be a good writer doing what you do. And I just think that's so helpful to me.
Of course. You know, I think that's absolutely, you know, possibly one of the best advice, you know, you could take. Because we are going to, if you keep seeking perfection or, you know, waiting for the perfect alignment of the stars, it may never happen. And you would find that you're lagging behind, you know, considerably. Whereas if you just got up and just do stuff based on your capability at the time, you will find that you get better and better and better. I know that with my first book I wrote, and I thought what I wrote was okay, and this is my own personal assessment of what I wrote. And then when I wrote my second book, I thought, actually, my second book is better than my first book. And, you know, it's the more you do, the better you get.
That's so true. And that's so true. And it brings me to something we all know, but I'll just repeat it. You have to have a schedule. You have to have a schedule, and you have to stick to the schedule. No one's going to make you do it. You have to do it. So I write 2 hours a day. I write an hour in the morning, right when I get up, because then I know if I do it then I've done it. I won't put it off, you know. And then I write in the afternoon after lunch. So I stick to that. And my husband said, well, what if you don't have anything to say? What if you can't think of, you know, what to say? And you know what? Then you write about the fact that you can't think of what to say. But you do write, no matter what.
Yeah.
So that's another piece of advice I have.
Oh, fabulous, fabulous. It's been truly interesting and amazing having you on the show. Now I'm just trying to think. Any final words of wisdom?
I might have given you all my wisdom. I have a couple other things.
You can never have too little. I'm sure you can find one last one for my guests or my listeners.
I have one other thing. I think it's really important to have a writing group. They helped me so much. Let me tell you one way they helped me with this book. When I was done with the first draft, one of them said, I know now what's wrong with this book. And I thought, what? And she said, your main character is not the hero of your book. She's an observer. And I said, you know, I went home and just screamed and ran and said, I'm never writing again, blah, 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 blah. And then when I calmed down, I sat down and I rewrote the entire book with my main character as the hero. And she was absolutely right. So those kind of things you can gain from a writing group that maybe you can't see yourself.
Right, but then your main character being an observer is not necessarily a bad thing. She could just simply be the narrator of the story, which could also bring a unique angle, depending on how you do it, to your book.
Yes, it's true, but she really was, the trouble is, she was really the main character. So she had to accomplish things.
Right.
If she were an observer and were observing the main character, that's a different matter. But she was the main character.
Ah, so okay. I get you now.
Yeah.
Okay. So you said about distributing your book on CreateSpace, and possibly you found out about it through, you know, conversations. Did you distribute your book via CreateSpace alone, or is it available on other channels?
It's available only on Amazon. And again, it's called Berkeley Girl. And there's another book on Amazon called Berkeley Girl. So I'm Elizabeth Downing Potts. And so to distinguish from the other book. And it is on Amazon.
Okay.
And yeah.
Okay, no, thank you. That was really, you know, interesting to sort of learn, you know, how you got into publishing. Like, just to hear that, you know, you were there during the Vietnam War, you know, because people don't like to talk about wars and the past. And, you know, you sort of just taking pen and paper and putting it down in a book. I think that's actually quite important.
I think, you know, making it personal is important. I think of, now my book is nothing like this. Sophie's Choice is such a wonderful book. But, you know, you hear that 6 million Jews were killed, and you can't even imagine, you know, you can't think about it. It's too much. But when you hear the story of this one woman and her two children, and that she had to give up one of her children, that makes it personal. That makes that war personal.
Yeah.
And then you care.
I can imagine.
I wanted to make that time personal, you know, that this was about real people and what they had to go through.
Yes, of course. Okay, well, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show. Are you on social media?
So I can be reached. I have a blog, and my blog is liz@berkeleygirl.net. I have two. So I can be reached at berkeleygirl.net.
Okay. Just that one?
I think yes. I think so.
Okay, that's fine. And I don't know if you said it and I totally missed it, because as you can hear, the little human, she's
yes, I can.
She's trying to do her book reading. So because I told her she had to be quiet today. So she's kind of like, yeah, okay, fine, I'll do my read. And she will read her own books herself. So that's her being quiet. So we should be grateful.
Oh, well, that's sweet. How old is she?
She's 3 and a bit, 3 going on 30.
I have a grandson who's a little over 3. And my husband and I watch him and his brother, who's 1. We watch them twice a week. So I know that age very well.
Yes, it's the I am independent, I can do things myself.
Yes.
You know, so that's with the age we're at now. And then, you know, she knows how to blackmail. Because the other day I said, no, you're not having any biscuit. And then she goes, you're not my friend, you're not my family. I'm like, what? I'm not. And he goes, you said no cookies, so you're not my friend, you're not my family. I'm like, oh, then. So yeah, she does know how to blackmail.
Yes, they learn so early, don't they? Wow.
I don't know where they learn it from, but yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. It seems innate almost.
I know.
But I love that age because, well, my grandson is so open to the world. He so wants to know everything, and he soaks everything up, and he actually listens to me. I can't believe it.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Well, I'm going to go and attend to someone, try and help her with her reading. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show, and possibly we might have you on the show again sometime soon.
Thank you. I really enjoyed talking with you, and you made me feel very comfortable.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, it is a virtual cafe, and people should come to the cafe and get relaxed, so I thank you for achieving that for me.
But well, thank you.
Listening, it's the Shegilola Salami Show, and I'm Shegilola Salami, and it's a virtual cafe, so we have drinks and banter and chat about books and publishing and hear authors and other people's inspiring stories. So hope to catch you again sometime soon. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.